Lovely. It's lovely to be back in London. Was away catching a few races. I got a typical British holiday. Had a week by the seaside. Typical British holiday. Got sunburned, got rained on. That's what you expect, really, from a holiday in the UK. If I asked you today, what's the best thing about summertime? For some of us, we say, well, maybe it's a chance for a holiday. Or even if you can't have a holiday, it's a chance for a break from work, maybe, or a break from the routine. Or maybe if the best thing for you about the summer is the warmer weather. So definitely, we've not got the heaters here today. We're not shivering. Thankfully, it's nice and warm here in the hall. Or perhaps the best thing about the summers is a chance to get outdoors. Maybe you've been cooped up all year in your flat, and now we can get outside. Enjoy the heath, Hampstead Heath. It's great. Now, I come from Manchester. And in Manchester, the weather there is always colder, and it rains a lot of the time. Isn't that right, Duncan? Duncan's a fellow, I wouldn't say Mancunian, he comes from the posh part of Manchester. I'm from the not posh part, the northeast. But there's not much difference in Manchester between summer and winter, because it rains the winter and it rains the summer. The only difference is the rain is warmer in the summer than it is in the winter. When I grew up, they used to joke about summer in Manchester. They said this: summer comes only once a year and it's on a Tuesday. That's all you get, is one day of sunshine. And it's true, if you're lucky up north, one day is about your maximum. But anyway, here in London, it's a bit more predictable. Maybe we get a bit more sunshine. For parents here, I hope the weather continues to be good over the school holidays so that the kids can get out. And I've got a seasonal message. The message I have for you this morning is a seasonal message. It's a message, I've called it Vision for the Summer. And in the seasons of church life, things are a little bit different over the next few weeks. We've got our August Sundays, where the children will be in all the time. It'll be a bit more of a magazine-style approach to the meetings. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts together in the church on Sundays throughout the month of August. And then there'll be picnics, meals after the church service every week in August. So my title I want to talk about this morning is Make the Most of Your Summer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us the summer and you give us the winter, you give us the spring and you give us the autumn. Thank you, the God of seasons. Thank you, you make the seasons. Thank you that things aren't samey with you, but things change. And we want to ask, Lord, as we enter this season of summer, that not just practically outward and on weather-wise, but we ask, Lord, spiritually, in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, would you do something fresh? And would you do something new? Lord, would the warmth of your sunshine, the warmth not of the physical sun, but of the warmth of your radiant presence, would it warm us on the inside? And we pray, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit, speaking and changing and doing wonderful things in our lives. Amen. Summer is a great time to take photos. The light is better, and life is generally more colourful. Now, when you take a photo on your phone, you either take it that way round or that way round. You either take a portrait picture or you take a landscape picture. And the portrait, of course, focuses on one subject. Great if you're taking a picture of yourself or one other person. Now, any ideas? This is a portrait. I've got to be honest, it is of some years ago. Anyone got any ideas who that handsome young man is up there? There's me with hair. That's what I used to look like when I was 1 year old. Apparently, my mother said I was quite a big chap, quite a big chunky chap. And it was the days where, before disposable nappies, where you had these big towel things that they wrapped around you. And I was such a big chunky chap that they couldn't buy trousers big enough, and my grandmother had to knit me some trousers. So the reason why I'm looking so glum is I'm really concerned about my knitted trousers. But if you want to take a picture of a group, you don't have it portrait, you turn it around so it's landscape. And you can view the whole shot, all your friends. In this case here, we've got a Carroty Wood photo from way back. I think we've got there's Sarah, I think, on the front row in green. There's Bethany, there's Mary, there's that Lily, there's Daniel, there's, is that Corriday? We've got Matthew, James Bissell there in the middle. There's David at the back. Wow, there you go. That's from 2007. If you want a group shot, then you take it a landscape. Now, the Bible is a similar way, in that sometimes in the Bible, it focuses in, almost like a portrait, it focuses on you and your relationship with God. It's a vertical thing. It's you and God. It's what your relationship, your personal relationship with God, just focusing on picture of you. Other times, it's like a landscape view, where it's us together. It's our relationships together important. It's our relationships together as we together relate to God that are important. And the Bible talks about both things, both ways round. Now today I want to focus on the landscape view, the Bible as it shows us our relationships together, because it's a vital part of our Christian faith. And to do it, I want to read from a passage in a small book of the Bible. Now, I bet you've never heard a sermon preached on this book, because it's a little book in the Old Testament. It's one of the minor prophets. It's a book called Haggai. And Haggai was a prophet about the 6th century BC, a long time ago. And he had some direction from God. And what happens, I want to give you a bit of background so you can understand what he's saying, because it's relevant to us today. I'm going to show you how. But the historical background was that before the 6th century BC, what had happened was that the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Babylonian king at the time, he'd come and he conquered Jerusalem. He'd taken God's people out of Jerusalem into exile and taken them away to Babylon to serve in his kingdom. That's the thing that had happened years before. But then another king rose at the time, a king called Cyrus, who was a Persian king. It was the rise of Persia. And that king arose and he and his armies conquered the Babylonians and took those Jews out of Babylonia and took them back to their Persian courts. But then God intervened and God moved the heart of this non-Christian Persian king who didn't know God. God moved this guy's heart and told this king to send God's people back to Jerusalem. And so he did. He sent them back to Jerusalem. And so the people of God who were in Persia were sent back. They went to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they started rebuilding. It was the time of the Bible of the book of Ezra, or the time of the Bible of the book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah details how they built the walls up of Jerusalem. When the people of God got back to Jerusalem, they built the wall, and then they started to build their own homes. But the temple of the Lord was left in ruins. And so because of that, God sent this prophet Haggai to speak to his people and say the following. I'm going to read to you. This is Haggai verse 1 and verses 3 to 4. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house, that's the house of God, that's the temple, remains a ruin? You see, what happened was the people of God arrived back in Jerusalem. They built the wall around the city to keep the enemies out. And then they each got on building themselves a house, making their house nice. They put panel wood on the inside. And so God wanted his people to come together to the project that he had on his heart, which was to build his house, God's temple, the place where God's people come together. And so God sent the prophet to tell them, look, this is what I want you to do. It was like there were individuals. There was a city of Jerusalem. I've been to the city of Jerusalem. It's a beautiful city. It's a city with tremendous tension, tremendous conflict, but it's a beautiful place. And they came back, they built the walls, and then they each started building their own houses. They were just getting on with their own lives. They were just doing the things that they were to do. If the person was a goldsmith, they were working with gold. If the person was a shepherd, they were working. Whatever they were doing, just getting on with their own lives. But see, God had a bigger purpose. It was fine to be getting on with their own life, but God said, there's something I want you to do together. And so Haggai continues in chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. He said this, God says, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Look, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. You see, God had a priority, and the priority for God was that his people would come together and would build the house that he wanted them to build for him. But instead, they were just getting on with their own lives, doing the things that they wanted to. And there's nothing wrong, of course, with building a house. Nothing wrong with them having houses and having nice places to live, not at all. But God wanted them to come together to have a place where they could worship him, a place where they could get together as God's people, love him, find out about him, and be together as a people of God. You know, some people ask me, they want to ask about us as a church, and they say, what kind of church are you? Try to identify what kind of church we are. And it's not an easy question to answer because we're not a Baptist church. We're not an Anglican church. We're not part of a denomination. And so it's good in a way because it means we're not put in a box. But in another sense, it can be hard to communicate what makes us as a people of God, what makes our church a particular flavor of church. So I say things like this. I say, first of all, we're a Bible church. And by that, I mean we're a church that loves the Bible. Every week we speak from the Bible. I'm not this morning bringing you some great ideas I've just had or dreamt up. We're looking at a passage of the Bible and seeing what the Bible can help us with our lives. We're a Bible church. The Bible contains the Maker's instructions for our lives. If I want to know how to conduct relationships in a way that are good, I look at the Bible. How to handle my money, I look at the Bible. The Bible is the Maker's instructions. If you buy a washing machine, you look at the Maker's instructions. If you don't and you just switch it on, as I have done, it might not work. And it didn't work until I read the Maker's instructions. We're 100% a Bible church. But also, I say to people, we're a church that welcomes the Holy Spirit. We look for his speaking, leading, changing our lives. We expect and pray for God's Holy Spirit to come and change us, speak to us, work in our hearts and work in our lives. Both those descriptions of what kind of church we are good. But the most helpful way I found of describing what kind of church we are is to say we're a community church. Because the word community means quite a lot. It's kind of got a lot of helpful, in my opinion, meaning. In that people understand the idea of community, it's got a positive kind of feel in the minds of Christians and people who are not Christians. And so I like to use it as a label to help people outside the church understand a bit about what are we like, what are we up to. We're a church which values community, where community is very important. The two aspects of that are the community there is amongst us. We're looking to build a community, but also as God's people, we're looking to impact the wider community, the community here we live around us, the tens of thousands of people that live in these flats around us. We're looking to impact their lives with the good news of Jesus. So in two ways, we're a community church. We're a community inside as God's family. God is our father. Jesus is our older brother, and we are brothers and sisters in his family. And it reflects our desire also as a church to impact the communities that are around us here. Both aspects, I think, neatly sum up what we're like as a church. And this morning, I want to emphasize the aspect of our Christian faith of the us bit. As I said before, there's a me and God bit. There's also the us and God bit. When Jesus said, pray, this is how you should pray. He taught his disciples to pray. He said, when you pray, pray our Father. He didn't say, pray my Father. He said, pray our Father, that together we would relate to God as our Heavenly Father. The reformer John Wesley said this, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. It's not about to just, I'm going to get on and do my own thing kind of Christianity. It's a together thing and not an individual thing. True, we have our personal relationship with God. True, it is my individual, accountable, personal ability to hear God, love God, and know God. Absolutely true. But there's the wider sense we're looking at this morning, which us being together as the body of Christ. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12. This is the verse I want you to look at. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. It says, all of you together are Christ's body. In other words, Jesus physically is not here. You go to his tomb. I've been to the tomb in Jerusalem. They think where he was laid. And the tomb is empty. His body's not there. And Jesus physically rose to heaven. And so physically, Jesus isn't here today. But Jesus, by his spirit, works in the heart of Christians. And so together, you are part of the body of Christ. And each one of us is a part of it. So it describes the community church, I think, in a really helpful way. See, here at New Life, in this particular church, all we have is our relationships. There's nothing of more substance to us as a church. We've got no building. We simply rent this space off the school. So we rent a building, and before we arrived, there was nothing, just a few chairs. And in a few hours' time, there'll be nothing left. Maybe the odd jumper or cardigan that someone leaves behind. Just put your hand on it now, please, so you can take it with you before you go. But there'll be nothing. All the place will just be an empty hall. We've got, as a church, we've got no assets. We've got two old vans out there that hold this music equipment and a few and some cups of coffee and some stuff for the kids' equipment. And if we sold it on eBay, we get a few quid, but not many. And that's all there is to us, our assets as a church. There's nothing you could point to and say, that is New Light Church. Because even the banner that's outside is taken down, that's on the school gate, is taken down at the end, rolled up. All that it's possible to say that is New Life is by someone coming and being amongst us and part of us here this morning. This is New Life. This is what New Life Church. This New Life Church is you, the person next to you, the people around you. This is all there is. For good or bad, this is it. There's no more. But what makes it different, of course, from just any old group, because all over this, in fact, in this school this morning, there's all kinds of groups meeting. There's an NCT class over there. There's a football group there. There's some dance group there. All groups of people meeting. What makes it different here is that God is working in our lives individually, that together something special can happen. And that's what makes it very important. See, when Jesus came to earth, he built no organizations. He left behind no societies, and certainly he built no buildings. All Jesus did was to invest his life in 12 people and those around him, to build close relationship with them, to love them, to care for them, and to serve them. And when he left deposited in their heart a message of the good news of salvation. And so as we read the book of Acts, all we see, those early Christians, they just wanted to be together. At every occasion, those early Christians just want to meet with other Christians. They didn't just want to be on their own. They wanted to be with other Christians because there's something about what Jesus started, which is his new community. Church is a new community. It's a community that's all about focusing on Jesus. And that's what we're doing here today, to build that new community. Let's return to the people of God in Haggai, because the words of the prophet touched the hearts of the leaders and the people, and they came together to work on God's house. Excuse me. The words of in Haggai 1 and verse 14, it says this. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Some time ago, God gave Vicky a picture of a basket. Do you remember the picture? Just come up and share the picture with us with a moment. It was a good couple of years ago now, but it's a picture that's been with me quite significantly.
We were in a prayer meeting, one of the evening prayer meetings, and we were sitting in an oval. It wasn't quite a circle. It was like an oval shape. And I remember looking across at somebody opposite and thinking, I never sit next to that person. I always sit with the people I know. I don't really know that person. And the Lord challenged me, and he gave me this beautiful picture about how he wanted us to be. And it was a picture of a basket that my sister-in-law had given me, and she'd found this eco-friendly business that sold baskets made of the straps that go around pallets. You know, those big pallets that hold, I don't know what they hold, but the plastic straps, the thin plastic straps have been dyed, or maybe they were actually that colour, but they're all different colours, and the straps have been woven together to make this beautiful little basket with plastic handles. I'd have bought it if I'd known I was going to speak about it. It's quite small. It's really lovely. It's a really pretty little basket. It's very, very strong. But the beauty of it is that all the weave is different colours. So as each strap crosses another strap and is woven in and out, all the straps are joined up that make the basket. And it's functional, it's very strong, it's very beautiful, and it's totally integrated within itself. All the straps are integrated. And I felt God say, that's what I want your church to be like. That's what I want from church, for each of you to be in contact with each other and integrating everybody to be involved with everyone else. So there wasn't just a few people you like that you sit with, or a few people you never speak to because you're not sure you get on with those people. It was completely the opposite. It was like God was saying, I want this basket to be complete. I want everybody to be willing to be woven in the way that I'm calling them to be.
Thanks very much. I think that and I've thought about that a lot. I thought about it in the context of this verse in Ephesians 2, verse 22, where it talks here about that in Jesus we're built together. There's this interweaving of our lives that will become a dwelling, become a container. You see those strips of the packaging that Vicky was describing, that, you know, it's that tape they use to go that's used to around packaging. If you had a pile of that on its own and you tried to put a liquid inside that, or try to put anything inside, try to put anything in there, they wouldn't contain it. But once it's woven together, it becomes a container. And Paul here tells the church in Ephesus, he tries to understand what this is about, that in Jesus we're somehow. This is a miracle. The miracle is this. What a diverse group we are here this morning. All different ages, all different backgrounds, all different experiences, all different countries. What a diverse group we are. But yet, somehow, the miracle is in Jesus, there is a weaving together of our lives such that we become a container. And he calls it here a dwelling. And there's a place, and this is significant, but because this basket that Vicky's describing becomes a place that God can live by his Spirit. Now, that's an amazing thing if you think about it, that God of the universe, that created all those stars and sits in heaven enthroned in majesty and power, that God of heaven could come and dwell and fill by his Spirit a container. And humble, what a humbling thing to think that you're part of that container. I'm part of that container as our lives are together. Now, obviously, as individuals, I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. As individuals, the Holy Spirit can touch my life. But once this is saying, there's something about actually being knitted together, being woven together, such that then God can fill us together in, I believe, a far greater way, in a far more special way, as we allow him to do this. It's a wonderful way of thinking about church. Now, Jesus said very little about church. If you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look what Jesus said about church. He said very little, but this is what he said in Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I will build my church. In other words, the church is something Jesus is. He's the one who's like, in this one sense, to use this analogy, weaving those strands together. Or in another building analogy, he's the one who's taking building blocks and building something substantial. Look how Peter sees it in 1 Peter 2 and 4 to 5. He says, as you come to him, as to Jesus, who's the living stone rejected by humans, sorry, I read the verse before, but also chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So it's a slightly different picture there. Peter's got a slightly different picture. It's the same message. But what he's saying is that you are like a living stone. Imagine a Lego brick, but not a hard, lumpy bit of plastic with all bits sticking out, but something soft and malleable and squidgy. And then these bits were kind of put together to build something. He's saying here that we're like stones, but living stones that are built together to make something. And what he's talking about is a spiritual house. He's talking about making church. He's talking about building something. When Jesus said, I will build my church, Peter was there. Peter heard it. And this is what Peter took away from it. He was talking about taking people, individual lives as Christians, and plugging them together relationally, weaving them together, as Vicky was saying, this picture, to form something that was substantial, something that was eternal, something that was lasting, something that was strong. We're talking about building a spiritual house. And so here today in this building, we don't need bricklayers and we don't need electricians. We don't need people to come and build something. Actually, what's happening is something is happening between our lives as God is building us together. So you're an essential bit. Imagine a wall with a hole missing because there's a brick missing. And that brick is U-shaped. It's just the shape for you, just the shape for me. God's got a place and a part for all of us in what he's building. And that's why it's so exciting. That's why it's so exciting to be part of God's people, because you are essential. You're different from other people. You've got different talents and gifts and perspectives. But together, God takes you and me and he builds something which is beautiful, which is eternal, and which lasts. What an amazing thing. Paul continues the church in Ephesus. He says this, from Jesus, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. Do you see what he's not talking about? Building some kind of wall, some static thing that just is there. This was built about 19 70, I think, this bit of concrete up above us here. It's just there until they come and knock it down and build something else. He's talking about building something that is organic, something that can move, something that can respond, something that's alive. That's the wonderful privilege, is you are called to belong to something that's living and breathing and active and moving. What an exciting option we've got as Christians. Let's get back to the Haggai and see how it finished for the people in God at the time of Haggai. God was doing something among them that would touch the nations, and the result, God's glory was going to come into his house. We see this in Haggai 2 and verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Verse 7, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. Verse 9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace. See, God promises to build a place where there's peace. Heart peace. Do you know that for so many of us, we face, just I was talking to a few of us on the way in this morning, we've got difficult situations in our families, difficult situations work, difficult situations around us where there isn't peace. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of discord, a lot of hard things. We need peace, heart peace. And God promises here where together his people will come and build together. God says, I will grant you peace. Peace, peace, peace. Just this morning, just for a moment, just feel that peace. That's the peace of God that's here. It's the peace of God because that's what he grants as his people, as we look to him, trust him, pray. We need that. If you're going to face the challenges you're going to face on Monday, you're going to face the challenges that you face in your week ahead, we're going to need that heart peace. We need to take that heart peace we've got here, take it with us into the week ahead. Finally, Haggai says there's a blessing from being about God's building project. In Haggai 2 verse 18, this is what it says. From this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, give careful to the thought when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. From this day on, I will bless you. See, as soon as God's people got the message, it's not just about getting on with your own life. It's not just about doing your own thing. It's actually about coming together and working together on the project that God has. As soon as the foundation was laid, as soon as they got the message, as soon as they got on with it, what was God's promise? From this day on, I'm going to bless you. And I'm so privileged to be part of a church where we have community, where there is love and care, and where there is a sense of being together and caring for each other. And I believe that the most exciting thing that God is doing, one of the most exciting things God's doing, is building that sense among us, building the depth of that community. See, this was the blessing on the physical temple. Now Jesus is building his church, and there's a amazing blessing on being part of what God's doing here. Can I ask you a seasonal question? What is your favorite flavor of ice cream? Is it... I'll give you a few examples. Is it butterscotch? Is it Rocky Road? Is it mint choc chip? Is it strawberry? Is it chocolate? Is it coconut? Is it raspberry ripple? Is it rum and raisin? Tutti frutti. I got a few for tutti frutti over there. Is it pralines? Oh yeah, pralines. That's nice. Is it chocolate marshmallow? What's your favourite ice cream? Melon. The number one favourite ice cream in the country, unsurprisingly, is vanilla. Exactly, Pat. My feelings exactly. Why would you want to waste calories on a vanilla ice cream, I ask you? Thing is that I believe there's, in one sense, congregations, church like us, are like ice cream flavours. When you make ice cream, if you go to Ruby Violet's, which is the ice cream maker just behind us here on the Tufnell Park Road, if you go in there, they make ice cream on the premises. And the ingredients of ice cream are very simple. It's cream, it's water, it's milk, it's sugar, and they mix it together, and obviously they freeze it. But crucially, in the process, they add a different flavour to give it a different twist, each one. But the basics are the same. And as a congregation, we relate really well. I'm really grateful for our relationship with other churches across North London, because fundamentally, we're God's people. We're the same. We're about what God's doing, which is why we can come together on Fleet Festival, why we can come together at Easter, we can come together at Christmas, we can come together and do things and worship together and serve together, because fundamentally, the ingredients are the same. But God's called different groups to do just slightly different things in God's amazing, amazing economy. And that's where the different flavours come in. So I don't know whether we're tutti frutti or whether we're butterscotch. I don't know. But there's something God's called us. So one of our flavours, one thing that's important for us here as a church is particularly because we haven't got a building, it's about our relationships together. It's particularly important, particular emphasis, a particular thing that's important for us is that we are building God's new community. Now, there are other things that are important too here. Reaching out to those outside the church is important. Children and young people are very important. Prayer is important. Teaching is important. Worship is important. There's loads of things that are important. But primarily, the thing I feel on my heart as the underlying flavor for us as a church is God called us to be a community church, that we would have a such quality of relationships amongst us that there'd be something very special about us as a group in terms of those relationships. And so that's what I believe one of the things Jesus is building amongst us. And so sometimes someone new comes to the church and they ask me, they say, what can I do here at New Life? And we're not a church with loads of departments, with loads of kind of things you could do this or do that and the other. Actually, what I say, I love people when people ask that question because it shows a great heart, wanting to serve and wanting to really give. So I love that question. But what I say is the same thing. I say, we're a church about relationships. Would you invest your life in loving people? Would you invest your life in praying with people? Would you invest your life in sharing with those who are here, building what God's doing amongst us? So that when new people come and new people walk through that door, that there's a place where people can be welcomed. If you're new, today is the first day you've come here, you are welcome. Very welcome. We want you to know that we're a community that wants to serve, love, care, and be here, that we can have relationship with you and love you. That's what we're about. That's the flavor of church that we are. A couple of years ago, there were a couple of a man and a woman, a couple who left the church. They decided that the particular flavor of New Life wasn't for them. And so they went off and I blessed them, said, you know, God bless you. Find somewhere you want to go. That's great. And so they went somewhere. And I met them a couple of months later. I said, oh, how are you getting on? Bumped into them. They live near my house. But I said, how are you getting on? They said, oh, we've joined an internet church. Oh, a friend. Well, how does that work? Internet church works like this, that you listen to the sermon online. You download the podcast, you pay your tithe by credit card, and you send your prayer request by email. It's easy. And that's it. That's an internet church. Actually, the fundamental thing that's missing is relationship. Because it's very hard to get to know and unless we spend time with each other, unless we share our lives with each other, unless we get to know each other with all our difficulties and hang-ups and problems, because we're real people. We're not people who are Jesus made perfect. We're people who Jesus is working in our hearts and lives, that we can open up our lives with all their difficulties and all their struggles, and we can say, would you pray with me? Would you stand with me? Would you walk through these difficult things with me in my family, in my job, whatever it is? That's what it means to be part of Jesus' church. Just to finish, summer, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity over summer. The weather's a bit nicer, a bit kinder, to spend more time together. Great opportunity to invite someone round, meet them for a coffee. There are shorter meetings. The sermon's going to be a lot shorter. Stop smiling, please. The sermons are going to be very short, and the kids are going to be in, and it's going to have a different magazine sort of style to the thing. And then we're going to go and have lunch together. If picnics are not your thing, you think, oh, I can't stand picnics. Well, listen, there's a great, as I said before, there's a great cafe there. Come, because it's just great just to spend some time together in the afternoon. Just chilling out, playing some games, having a chat, getting to know other people. So one of the most important things, I believe, opportunities over the summertime, is to make an effort to get to know others here in the church. That what we've got here can grow. That more people can come in and enjoy being part of God's family. That's only going to happen, only going to continue to happen as we continue to invest our lives, invest our time, invest our effort in each other. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. I thank you for every single person here today. Thank you, Lord, that we're not here by accident. We're here because you're a God who orders our steps, who leads and directs our lives. And I thank you that, Jesus, you are building your church. Thank you, it's not down to a man or a woman to do that. It's down to you. You're doing it. Thank you so much. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made something of a container here at New Life, something of this vessel, something of this basket that Vicky was describing, you started to make that. And we say, please, please, Heavenly Father, would you continue to do that? I wonder if you'd all stand. John, just stand. Would you mind, if you're able to stand? If it's difficult for you, please don't feel obliged. But let's stand if you can. Let's just stand before God for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Do you know what? I just really feel this morning there's so much in our society and so much in just maybe our experiences in the past that means we're afraid of relationships, we're afraid of reaching out to other people, that we've had some bad experiences with friendships and things have been difficult. And I feel that there's the love of God in our hearts and amongst us that helps us to make friends, helps us to connect with others, particularly here. This is a safe place this morning. It's a safe place because God's Holy Spirit is here amongst us, working in our hearts, working in our lives. And I'm not going to make you do anything. No one's going to embarrass you. It's just you and God here today. But it's just a wonderful opportunity, just in our hearts. Would you just pray, whatever you feel in your own words, quietly in the stillness of your, not out loud, but in the stillness of your heart and mind, just pray and ask that God would take your life like this living stone and fit it into whatever he's building. That he'd take your life and he'd build it and he'd make it into something which is bigger, something which is more significant, something which connects with what he's doing, something which is eternal. I wonder if we could put this into practice this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just simply want to ask, could you turn around the person behind you and say hello to them? If you don't know who they are, just turn around now, the person behind you. You might need to move. You might need to move because if I know some of you, move out of your seats. Just find one person. Say hi.
Thank you very much. I would like to start this morning's service by sharing with you a story of how I met Jesus. Few weeks to my 9th birthday, I was in the 7th grade. We had a crusade in the city where I was studying. And we were told that the blind speaker was coming to speak. And I made up my mind that if he was blind, then he can't see me stone him. So I'm going to put some stones in my pocket and I'm going to climb on the tree and I'm going to stone him. And I got a few of my friends to think like me. So we all agreed that we're going to stone him. And the preacher was really blind. I didn't know. I thought he was just making up. So I said, if I stone him, he was kind of saying, you stone me, come here. And while he was preaching, he kept saying, give your life to Jesus. Jesus loves you. I wouldn't give in to none of that. And at the last point, he said, everybody close your eyes. Let us pray. And I said, yes. Everyone in this big hall is going to close their eyes. And I was on the top of a tree. So I dipped my hand in my pocket while he was asking them, if you know you don't know Jesus, come to the front. And people were kind of coming out and they were praying and they were thanking Jesus. I got the stone out and I was set to throw it. And the preacher suddenly stopped and said, hey, young man, the Lord said you're on the tree. You've made up your mind to stone me today, but Jesus loves you. He wants us to come down from that tree and come to the front. And I said, nah, this cannot be me. A couple of my friends went down, went to the front. He touched them on the head and says, no, you're still on the tree. I need you to come down. There were a couple of more kids on the tree. And I said, I'm not going down. I'm not coming down from this tree. And I'm going to actually stone this man now. And he repeated it the third time. And at this point, I said, I'll just come down. Maybe next time I'll stone him. But I won't go to the front. And he said, Jesus loves you. Come to him. He has seen you. He knows your heart. Come to him. And I was, how can Jesus see me on the tree? He's not even on earth. He's in heaven. But he loved me so much that he's saying to me, draw near unto me. Come unto me. And David said in Psalm 73, can we have it please? Verse 20, 28. He said, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. As we draw unto him, he becomes like a defender. He becomes like a protector. He becomes like a helper. Please join me as we rise up to the first song.
Let's just close our eyes for a minute and just turn our hearts to God. Just as he knew John's name, though he was only 9 years old and up a tree, up to no good, he knew that he had a call on his life and he called him down. And God has called us each by name. He knows our names. He knows where we are. He knows if we're near or if we're far. And he loves us just the same. Draw us near to you, O Lord.
Lord, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you that you've brought us here safely, Lord. Thank you that we've had a good week, Lord. Lord, would you please give us another good week, Lord? As some of us have finished school, would you please give us a safe holiday, Lord? And Lord, we want you to meet with us here today. Amen. Father, Lord, I thank you for waking us up this morning. I thank you for everything that you've done over the past week. I thank you for keeping us safe everywhere we've been. I pray, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit will really come into our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we'll really find you. Amen.
Amen. We're going to take our offering now. Oh, sorry. I jumped one song. Sorry.
We've only just got started.
We just started, yes. Okay. We're going to have the next worship song.
God would speak to you fresh today. With all this lovely sunshine, it's making me think of picnics. A couple of weeks' time, August is here. Not long now till August. During August, for the whole of August, we've got every Sunday after the meeting, we can share some food together. It's lovely. Just the rhythm of life is a bit different over the summer. And so opportunity after the meetings over the summer in August, bring a picnic. We're going to go up to, there's details in your information sheet, going to go up to Hampstead Heath. There's a bandstand. There's live music every week to have some food together. There's a cafe. If picnics are not your thing, there's a beautiful cafe there, not expensive. I sound like I'm selling it today. Sounds like I'm not on commission, honestly. But it's a great way of spending a Sunday afternoon just being together and enjoying the afternoon. And we pray enjoying the sunshine too. So that's going to start. That's our August, special August Sundays. Start not next week, obviously, because it's still July, but then August the 6th, the 13th, the 20th, the 22nd, 27th. All throughout August, special summer celebration. So we're looking forward to that very much. Nick, come and tell us about ECOS. ECOS is today. Come and tell us a little bit about it.
Just, last week, very sad to have missed what sounded like fantastic baptisms on the Friday. I heard you had a besuited Baptist minister leap into the water and help everybody out. I was spending my week with my 92-year-old mother-in-law, which I promise you was a great experience. But it's so lovely to just miss church for a week and come back and appreciate it and sense God's presence. So lovely to be here. We've got ECOS today, anybody who's got an hour from 1 o'clock to spare just to chat with some of our guests, there's apparently a waiting list of 17 this week, so it gets more and more popular. So anybody would be welcome to help. Just come over to the, follow the ECOS signs. We'll give you a cup of coffee and a biscuit and sit you down with somebody that's done it before. And all you have to do is talk and love people. So very easy. In the next week, on the Sunday, we're going to buy in a couple of pizzas. and in one of the children's rooms have some ECOS feedback at 1 o'clock again, just so people can say how they think it's gone, how we can improve it, maybe we can make it a little bit better. That'll be 1 o'clock next Sunday, and then we're into the picnic season. So would you, just as we did last year, invited our ECOS guests just to join us for the picnic. It was very easy. They absolutely loved it. They just joined us. We had some games afterwards. I won't market it anymore, but that's very exciting. So ECOS will continue in a very informal way over the summertime. And thank you so much for everybody that's participated this last year. It's been really fantastic. So, yeah, big thank you.
Nick, thanks. Today, just ask Ivan to say a few words. Ivan's going to tell us he's started a community project, and he's got launching on Saturday. Come down. Give Ivan a big round of applause, please. Ivan, I know that you and your wife, Niket, have launched this community project, this business that you started. Tell us a little bit about it and what's going to happen.
Good morning, church. I'm Ivan, for those who don't know me. We've just been in a project for quite some time now to set him up a coffee shop. And we are just delighted that it's already finished. And we are going to open on Saturday, the 29th of July, here in Chester Road. There is some information at the back of the information desk. And we will be very happy if you, any one of you, if have a time. It will be from 12 to 2 on Saturday. We'll be very happy to see you there. Or a coffee or pastry. Yeah. So it's been a great, project that we had. It's been tough, but thanks to God, it's completed now. It's really, really enjoy. I mean, it's quite exciting. Exciting from nowhere God gave us, and we finally completed. So we will be very happy if you come on Saturday from 12 to 2. Anyone? Yeah? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Fantastic. A fantastic opportunity. Just really great for Ivan and Niket to this community project. Something, a Christian flavour to bring into the community. So thank you very much. Looking forward to that starting this Saturday. Great. The children are going to make a move now. So children and young people and babies, now's the time to head out through that door. If it's your first time here, we've got a 1 minute comfort break. The toilets are out the door and up the stairs, and the drinks are over there.